Chapter 1. Thank you, Daniel, for announcements. It's the things that preachers hate to do the most, and it's good to see other people have fun with that blessing. James chapter 1. Of course, we're talking about the theme of this book, James, Just Live It. And we're dealing with the advice in this book, and I want to help with this. And so what the main thing that we all wrestle with is this: the struggle in our life is really temptation. So how do we deal with that? How do we deal with temptation? Now, when we talk about temptation, we talk about two things. We talk about testing that comes in our life. We're all put to the test. We also talk about an aspect of our life where, you know, there's the world, the flesh, and the devil, which comes against us. And it might cause us to get off track and to follow a way that is not pleasing to the Lord. And so the way James gives advice to believers that are wrestling with things, and he really gives the advice on how to deal with temptation, it starts with the right attitude. Count it all joy when you fall in diverse temptations. Why? It gives us an opportunity to exercise a genuine faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. We have the right attitude, and then we can have the right approach. If I could spell right, that would also help as well. Just notice that. Okay, the right approach. Wow, interesting. But it's based upon what we know. We know who the Lord is. We know the trying of our faith worketh patience, the ability to bear up under the pressure and under all the things that would come against us. But we've got to allow patience to have her perfect work. Patience will mature us, and it'll help us to be Christ-like. The Christian life will be something that'll be lived on the outside when we deal with it internally in the right way. And the Lord's provided something for us to help us with that. We can ask the Lord for clarity. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally. We can ask the Lord. But how do we ask? We ask in faith. A double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. He's like the wave of the sea, up and then down, up and then down. And so we can go to the Lord and say, Lord, I don't understand what's going on. You know, we look at knowledge. Knowledge is the ability to take things apart, but wisdom is the ability to put things together. And that's really what we have to ask the Lord for. And then in order for us to deal with this struggle that we wrestle with in our everyday life, we have to apply the truth to our life. Now, whether we're rich or poor, wherever we find ourselves in the Christian life, we need to maintain the right perspective. If you don't have a lot, don't just try and seek after having a lot. Thank the Lord for the fact that you recognize that and you're dependent upon the Lord. If God has blessed you, use those means for the glory of God, and that's how God will continue to bless and honor and build those things. And then we talked about another thought as it comes to helping us with this matter of temptation. We anticipate the award. He's going to present those that are faithful with the crown of righteousness. For those that just say no, listen, I sought to. Listen, God's not looking for perfection. And I hope you're not coming to church feeling like you have to be perfect. I want to live for the Lord. But man, I got faults and failings just like anybody else, but there's the desire for it. And what helps us? It's going to be worth it all one day. We're going to check out of here soon, and I want God's blessing. And you know what? I don't just want God's blessing. I want all of you to have God's blessing. And together we could say, hey, what a thought that we could see each other in heaven and say, hey, we worship together. As a pastor, I could say, hey, guys, we're here. We're finally home at last. We're free with all the sin, all the stresses of life. And then in order to help us with this temptation, we look at the origin. We're drawn away of our own lusts and enticed. And I think sometimes the devil gets too much blame. You ever notice how people are unbalanced when it comes to the devil? It's either all the devil's fault or is there a devil at all? Okay. And the fact of the matter is, I really personally don't think that I have a lot of contact with Satan in my life. I think he probably sends his stupidest imp to deal with me. Think about that for a second. Sometimes we can get so big in our own minds, the devil's just picking on me. Really, Satan himself? Highly sophisticated army that guy has. And I'm not giving him credit, don't get me wrong, but our own lusts. We all have those things. We all have those trigger points. And so we got to look at the origin of it. Our own lusts, we're drawn away and we're enticed. And then we have to accept the consequences. Sin always brings forth death, and we'll talk about that here a little bit. But what I want to do is I want to bridge this thought to jump into the thought that we have here. So I want to go to James chapter 1. And I want to begin our reading in verse number 16. James chapter 1, and beginning our reading in verse 16.
And we're going to look at a new thought that the Lord has for us. Another piece of advice: we have to deal with temptation. There's no doubt about it. But it kind of builds upon what we've been talking about here. He gives advice for believers so that they can live the Christian life. And he starts in verse 16. And I want to say with this passage of Scripture, I've always viewed this wrong. I've always viewed this as a continuation of temptation. But the context really here is the Word of God. And it really hits on the Word of God in several verses of Scripture. So I draw our attention beginning in verse 16. The Word of God says this: "Do not err, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning." I used to think that the ability to bear up under, he's talking about that gift right there. That's not what he's talking about. Verse 18: "Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath, for the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls." Verse 22: "But be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself, and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the word, this man shall be blessed in his deed." Let's pray. Father, once again, we just come and ask for your help. And Lord, I pray that you would speak to us. Lord, the next section of advice that your servant James gave those early believers. And Lord, we as believers need it now. And I pray that you'd help us in this. And I ask these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen. As I was thinking about verse 16 and the verses that follow, the thought that came to my mind is this, is that we don't have to. Fill in the blank. We don't have to lose our temper. We don't have to get caught up in the cycle of addiction. We don't have to live a life of prayerlessness. We don't have to live a life of defeat. We don't have to. And that's an encouraging thought. And the reason I believe that and the reason I think that is because of verse 16 here. Because he says this, he says, "Do not err." Notice this, verse 16. "Do not err, my beloved brethren." I really wanted to follow up on this matter of temptation. And the Lord just said, "Move on." And I said, "But Lord, how do you do that? Because I want people just having the victory in this. I want the victory in this in my life. How we can handle temptation the right way." And the Lord allowed this bridge to kind of get to where we've got to go. He says in verse 16, he says, "Do not err, my beloved brethren." So if James is saying, please do not err, we don't have to. And oftentimes, like I said on Sunday, we give in to habit patterns. We give in to this cycle of defeat. Nobody in this room is defeated. The only reason why we get defeated is we choose the path of defeat. We are victorious in Christ. That's where we are at positionally. We're seated with Christ in the heavenlies. That's exactly where we're at. I watched Trump's State of the Union the other day, and it was interesting. I saw this young man that was talking about going into space, and he says, everybody, as a young person grows up and they look at the stars and they say, wow, look at the stars. And he said, here's a young man that wants to have a worldview where he looks down from space upon earth. That's really the Christian life. That's really our life. You see, we're not really looking up, we're looking down. We're with Christ already in the heavenlies. So we're looking down, we're conquerors. We're looking down above the world. That's not a position of arrogance, that's really where we're at. We're hyper-conquerors. Paul, crying out Romans chapter 8, he says, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? No response. And he listed a bunch of things. Can anything separate us from God? No response, because the answer is there's absolutely nothing. The fact of the matter is, defeat comes into our life when we allow it, when we let it. So he says in verse 16, He says, do not err, my beloved brethren. So what does that word mean? I want to write it down here, and I want to help out with that. What does it mean when he says, do not err? We think of the word error, right? An error is something that you do wrong. What does the word error mean? Does anybody have an idea? Do not err. What's he talking about here? Just want to throw it out there. So I don't have my dictionary in front of me, okay? The word error means this. It means to roam. It means to roam or stray. Don't stray. Don't roam from the Lord. Don't roam from your fixed position of victory in your life. And that's what he's trying to get across here in verse 16. He says, don't roam. Now, who's he talking to? So when he's talking about this, he's talking about the truth. Don't leave the truth. Because we have victory. We have that in our everyday life. So how does this happen in our life here? How do we go from walking with the Lord, walking in fellowship with the Lord, and walking in error? How does this happen here? Well, he says it backing up into verse 14 to connect us and help get us the next thought that he has. He says, but every man is tempted, tempted of his own lust and enticed. That word tempted is really interesting in this context. It's interesting how when you look at the word of God and how it breaks down, he mentions this word tempted. And what this word tempted means is this. It means to pierce through. And I found it interesting. Every man is tempted. It's like the armor is breached. Now, when I thought about that, I thought about this fact here that we're to put on the whole armor of God, right? Ephesians chapter 6. The helmet of salvation, right? The breastplate of righteousness. It talks about the girdle that we have. Talks about the shield of faith. What he's talking about this tempting is being pierced through. Getting through this armor. Now, how does this happen? How do things get past this guard? He says it in verse 14. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away. Now, interesting. That temptation comes through the guard that God has set, that armor that God has given us, which is really the aspect of the life of Christ that we live out. But this temptation comes in, it pierces through that, and the word of God says that we're drawn away. In other words, we're lured like a fish, deceived by the fisherman's bait. That temptation comes in, we're off guard, it pierces through, and we're lured away. And what the fact of the matter is that because of this error, we get pulled in. So what happens? Well, Romans chapter 3 tells me this, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So what happens then? The error is this. The error is we don't glorify God. And that's really what sin is. Sin is the failure to glorify God. Sin is missing the mark. In other words, the Lord wants us to bear up under the temptation that comes our way, but instead we give in. And what is it? It's our own lust. We're drawn away. You think about baiting an animal, how guys would bait a deer and bring a deer in, and what happens? Drawn away. Drawn away from safety into danger. And that's the illustration that he's trying to bring across here. So what does this to us? Look at verse 14. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of the devil. No. The government. No. Our own lust. And here's the interesting thing here. This is a longing for the forbidden. I love cake. Man, I'm telling you. We had a game the other day and Mountainy came in. He's a diabetic like I am, but he's a bad diabetic. I'm testifying against him right now. My wife said, I know why his wife is frustrated and why I'm frustrated. You're horrible diabetics. Well, at least we're consistent in that, okay? We are. So he brings in these donuts. And not just any donut. It's like the Lord just, you know, this guy comes in. No, it has to be a coconut donut. And it has to have a cream filling in the thing. And he just doesn't have one. No, there's others available there. And so here's the thing. The issue wasn't having a donut. The issue was having two. Okay? And really, when he left his two donuts and went away gloating in his team's victory, I said, take your other two donuts and hit the highway. He left them. And the great sin was having the third one. Okay? And Amber didn't know about it, but the family usually can tell because you get overly happy. Oh, Dad's, yeah, he's got his thing going on here. Now, here's the thing. That's how lust is. We're drawn away of our own lust. God made marriage, but adultery is sin. You see where it can go astray? The Bible speaks of moderation and people abuse things. Drawn away of our own lust, and what happens? The Bible says here in verse 14, we're enticed. That means we get tricked, we get caught in the trap. And what's the result of this as we're really bringing the story about here? Verse 15, then when lust hath conceived, it always births something. When we give into it, there's always something that's produced by it, and here's what it says it is. It's sin. So what is sin in this context? What it is in this context, it's an offense against the Lord. Because all sin is against the Lord. Because the fact of the matter is that, let's just be honest, usually we know better. But we give into it. We let our guard down. It's missing the mark, and really what it is, it's failing to share in the prize. That's the definition of it here. It's failing to share into the prize. Now, what's the prize of walking with God? It's Christ-likeness. That's the goal. That's what Paul sought after. It's missing that mark. So in other words, when we give in, what happens is this. Is Christ-likeness is not produced. And the fact of the matter is we become unlike Christ. We seek our own glory instead of the glory of God. Now, here's where the story continues here. It says in verse 15, then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And when sin is finished, it bringeth forth death. Now, here's the problem with this. In a scriptural sense, when we see the word death here, it bringeth forth death. We deem it to be separation from God, right? It's like whenever we think of the word saved, it's somebody being saved from hell. And that's not always the case in the Word of God. It bringeth forth death. Now, who's the book of James written to? Help me out here. Christians. So is that talking about eternal separation from God? Then what's it talking about? Help me out here. What's that death? What's it talking about? Okay, broken fellowship? But let's be honest and real. What else is it speaking of? It bringeth forth death. Here's what it is. Spiritual vitality stops. It really does. Spiritual vitality stops. We know what that's like. We suddenly lack power. We all know what that's like. Man, God is blessing. We're experiencing victory. When this whole thing comes in, this temptation, we let the guard down, okay? We yield to the lust. It bringeth forth sin. And then sin brings about death. There's a loss of spiritual power. Lack of fellowship with God. Now, here's the thing for us as we look at what the Lord has for us tonight here. How do we get victory over this vicious cycle? Listen, let's be real. We all know what this is like here, okay? God's people are not children that you talk down to. We all know what this is like. The question is, are you sick of it? And I'm just going to be honest with you, I'm getting sick of it in my own life. There's just areas I'm just getting sick of. I am. Because it's a vicious cycle. I think many of us can testify in this room that in some ways, we've carried on the cycle that's gone on with our own families. It's the truth. We've carried the cycles on. And, you know, as parents, we want to hope the best for our kids, but, you know, we see some of these things manifest in our children's lives. Let's be real and honest here. How do we make it stop? See, this is the advice that James is given. How do we make this stop? How do we get rid of this? And so he brings up the second point of advice to the audience here, and he talks about the scriptures.
the scriptures in our lives.
That's the only way to make it stop. I'll be honest with you, I know that, but I often don't listen to it. We know if we want power in our life, we got to pray, right? Like, we know that. Come on, let's be real. We know that. But we just have to get to the point where we absolutely need prayer, right? We know that if we're in the Word of God and we're reading the Word of God, we're memorizing the Word of God, we're taking serious the Word of God, we know that we're going to have close fellowship with the Lord. But let's be real. It's work, right? Come on now. It is work, right? It's work. Listen, I get serious at home when Amber says, hey, I'm not joking around. I'm not putting up with this anymore. Guys, that's the wake-up call. That's when flowers aren't going to do it. Chocolate's not going to do it. Hey, look at you. You look pretty today. That's not going to do it. Mama, put her foot down. It's serious town. Okay? We know what that means. We don't like the price that comes with that. Swallowing the pride. But we know it. Now, here's the thing for us here. The scriptures in our lives. This is how we fix it. He gives the advice. Psalm 119, verse 9, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to thy word. That's the truth. Paying attention to the word of God. I counsel a lot of people over the years. You know what most people want? They want you to tell them what they want to hear, or they'll find someone else, without question. I was here talking with Brother Matt's dad. He says, preacher, let me save you some grief. Try it 3 times and then don't counsel him ever again. He says, let me help you. You're a good man. You're doing a good job. He says, but let me tell you something in ministry. I've been at it a long time. You try it 3 times. They don't listen. Don't help them. They don't want help. That's wise counsel. It's wise counsel. He said, man, I want to be clean. The word of God. He says, here's the advice. How is the scripture working in our lives? And that's the truth. The blessing for me here is this, is I believe God's people want to hear. That's the joy of my heart seeing this. They want to hear. So how do we have the scriptures at full work in our life? Jesus said in Matthew 22, verse 29, he says, ye do err, you go astray, not knowing the scriptures nor the power of God. So I conclude a couple of things when you help people. People fall into trouble and into error in their life because they don't know the word of God, and that's true. Sometimes people don't know. They don't know. And oftentimes people don't know the matter of separating from things, watching out for triggers as far as temptations are concerned. But the other aspect of it is not knowing the power of God. He says, you do err not knowing the scriptures nor the power of God. So we who are already victorious in our spiritual standing, we wrestle with this in a practical sense. So in order for us to maintain victory over temptation, we must apply the scriptures to our lives. But how do we do that? And James helps the audience here to really get that. Number one, we do this. We got to recognize the Bible as a gift. But I'm going to get right down to the nitty-gritty. I've studied this a lot. I'm being real with you. And I always have to come up with something. I do. That's the life of a preacher. I always have to have counsel. And I want it right. And really, once you really uncover a lot of the dispensational truths, what else do you look at? If you know the story of Israel, you know the Jew, the Gentile, and the church, you know your Bible doctrine, and that's how it can be a lot of the time. Really, a lot of the time when you teach and preach the Word of God, you're not telling people brand new things. There's only really 7 major themes in the Bible. We know that. But a lot of times we know we've done something wrong. The Spirit convicts us and like, man, I needed that. No, this is a gift. This is a gift for us. This isn't a thing where it's something where God is trying to get even with us or hurt us. This is a gift. Without this, we have absolutely no life. Without the word of God, there'd be no salvation. We wouldn't even know about it. We wouldn't know about God's plan for mankind. We wouldn't have a hot clue about it. But oftentimes, we don't approach the Bible as a gift. You know, people go up and say, hey, what did you get in your Bible reading this week? Oh, I knew you were going to ask that. Let me just say this on the extreme side. The one that has no relationship with the word of God is the lost person. Without question. Sing them over again to me, wonderful words of life. Let me more of their beauty see, wonderful words of life. Jesus said to his disciples, will you also go away? I'm paraphrasing, where are we going to go? You have the words of eternal life. He was the straw that stirred their drink. Never a man spake like this man. Isn't that true of the Lord? I don't know what I'm speaking on most of the time on a Sunday and on a Wednesday, but he does. I spoke on anger. That's something that I deal. Most preachers deal with that. I said, Lord, I need this. And I've just found over the years, if I need it, then other saints usually need it too. So we're growing together. This isn't a textbook. This isn't something I'm going to use to hurt you. This is a gift for us. A gift from Almighty God. Now let's look at it this way here. Notice what it's called here, verse 18. It says this, of his own will begat he us the word of truth. You know what we have here is pure unadulterated truth. Everything you'll ever need is right here. You say, man, my finances are poor. Lots of counsel here. My relationships suck. Lots of counsel here. I don't know how to do business. Read the book of Proverbs. A lot of good counsel here. He says here, he speaks of the word of God, that it's the word of truth. What does that mean to us, and how does this help us? In other words, God revealed what was not previously known to us. I remember the day that I discovered the difference between having peace with God and the peace of God. It freed me. It was never good enough growing up as a kid. Mom raising 7 boys, abusive relationship, is brutal for her. And it was such a peaceful day in my life when I recognized that God's not angry with me. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. He's never going to be angry with you like that again. But when we get out of fellowship with God, we don't enjoy the peace of God, and that means the very peace that God himself enjoys. See, we can't lose our salvation, but we can lose fellowship, and oh, that was freeing for me. Seemed like he was a million miles away, but he really wasn't. He was right here the whole time. He says, would you just acknowledge me? See, this is a gift. It's called the word of truth. Now notice this here about this gift, verse 17, and what it says here, it says of this gift, every good gift and every perfect gift. So this gift is good and this gift is perfect. And what does it mean? Good means that it's beneficial, and perfect means that which matures. So God reveals to us things we've never heard before, things we didn't know before, for our benefit to make us better. And I try to avoid this book like the plague sometimes, and I'm a preacher. Thank you for the gift. Think how awesome God is. It's a good gift. It's a perfect gift. But notice in verse 17. Tell me where it's from. Help me. From above. Any sin up there? Bad counsel up there? Look at what it says here in verse 17. It cometh from above. It's from above. And cometh down from. That's why it's a gift to us. It's heavenly, spiritual. It's not earthly and sensual. Someone said it this way, basic instructions before leaving Earth. It's true. How to navigate a horrible existence upon planet Earth from your Heavenly Father. Think about that. I joke about it a lot. Lord, I want to strangle the kids today. I'm just a real human being that's sick and tired of playing church. I get annoyed with my wife, and my wife gets annoyed with me. It's called humanity. And I watch other people fake it. But I've heard a lot of stories from children. True, really, truly. I've seen a lot of guys, yeah, we got such a great Christian home. Let me go talk to your wife. Don't you believe me? Let God be true and every man a liar. See what the word of God is? It's truth. I'm just a regular human being who happens to pastor the Lakeside Baptist Church, man. I hope you're not blown away by that, and I hope that doesn't offend you. Daniel, I'm growing. I can grow here. I don't wear the cape anymore. I've been in those meetings where you're going to make the cape. Oh, here's the hotshot young preacher. Oh, man, he's just... Nine out of ten of those things were not true that you said about me, preacher. And I have to live up to that in this moment, and I'm a human. That's not normal. This is a gift that God has given us. Now, notice this gift here. Where does it come from? It cometh down from the Father of lights. The Word of God says this here. So it's given, this gift is given by one who desires our best. That's true every single day, even when the devil tells you it's not. He desires our absolute best every day. He saved you. He has a plan for you. And that plan is Christ-likeness. And he's going to accomplish it one way or another. He's going to accomplish that in all of our lives. I take comfort in that security. You're never going to get too out of control because he'll pull you back. He'll do a recall. He really will. Read the book of Hebrews. He loves us so much, he'll bring us home if he has to. I don't have to keep myself. So I'm just scared I'm going to fall. That's a horrible way to live. Just keep climbing higher. That's what he wants us to do. It's a gift, and we need to recognize it's a gift. It says it's from the Father of lights. Now notice this here. That means he manifests his rays of truth. That means he reveals things continually that have never been known to us before. The Bible goes on to say here in the Word of God in verse 17, in whom is no variableness. That means he never changes. Never changes in one aspect, preacher. That he wants the very best for us every single day. He never changes. He doesn't decide one day, Nate, no, you're eternally secure. Oh, you ticked me off, you're not. He doesn't say, ladies, oh, you're running the kitchen here now. Oh, you're not perfect today. Oh, too bad, game over. Never. He doesn't say, teenager, you had, guess what? You know what teenagers are? They're teenagers. And they do teenager things. We flip out about it. You know, I've seen Christians do crazy, kooky things. Like have temper tantrums. Like psycho stuff. We saw one day this lady in the church just flipped out. Why? Because we moved the mirror. Like grandma, man. Flipping out. Why? Why what? Why'd you move the mirror? Because it was no room. We needed more coats. You had no right to do that. Okay. So we're blowing our testimony and having a meltdown over hair? Does that make sense to anybody here? I thought, wow. Like, I can understand if I said something, you know, pretty direct or I moved a mirror. She's still saved. Okay. I didn't think so at that moment. I'm like, whoa. I'm like, what? Okay. You're wondering. Why did she do that? Chemical imbalance. What does she need? Some sleep and some chemicals. Does that help? Sometimes. Okay. Sometimes it doesn't. Okay. God never changes. Say, preacher, I'm just trying to look the absolute best. I can't come into church, breathe right, smell right, get the kids being perfectly right. Someone will still annoy you. And just about the time you get it all figured out, the rules always change. So I just stick with the one who never changes, because people change all the time. And it's safer that way. Okay? Now he says this. He says, in whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Meaning this, God's light is never diminished. Meaning that truth that he sends out never diminishes. It never ceases. It never stops. And I like this thought here. Ordinary heavenly lights produce shadows. God's light is perfect and shadowless. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. It's not total darkness because you got the light of God in that valley. Think about that for a second. God is always straightforward, and I'm very, very thankful for that. So here's the thought process for us here. It's this. The Word of God is a gift that produces light because he's the Father of light. And light is revealed truth that is not previously known or wasn't previously known to us. But not only that, it says here in verse 18, of his own will begat he us with the word of truth. You know, it was God's will that we're born again, that we're brought to life. That's what the word begat means. It actually carries on the whole process of pregnancy from that point of conception to birthing. It's a powerful thing. And you feel like a loser today? That's an amazing thing for me. I'm very thankful for the fact that we're saved and we know the Lord Jesus Christ is our Savior. And that was the plan of Almighty God. He says it here in verse 18. Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth. We're saved. What? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We respond to the word of God. The Holy Spirit, conviction, repentance, all of these things happen in one shot, these 33 things that happen at salvation. But he says it this way here, that we should be kind of a first fruits of his creatures. Of his own will he begat us. You know what we find? From this gift that God gives, we have light, but there's also life. And he says it here, it's very interesting here. He says it, of his own will begat he us. You go down to verse 21 and it says, of the word of God which is able to save your souls. He's writing to save people and he's saying, hey, you're saved. But the Christian life is about continual salvation. I'm not talking about asking God to escape the fires of hell. Continued deliverance and deliverance. Temptation, difficulty, deliverance. Trials and testings, deliverance. I love what the psalmist says. Out of my troubles, he delivered me from them all. That's who God is. But do we see the word of God as a gift? You say, oh, I'm telling you what. God wants to whoop up on me. Wrong view. God says, you're my child. I want to give you some advice. I want you to live my life. You say, I can't. He says, that's why I've given you the Holy Spirit and the sword of the Spirit. So when God says, just live it, we can, by the grace of God, because we have the word of God, which is a perfect gift and a good gift from Almighty God. Let's stop it here. Father, thank you for this time, Lord, in your word. Lord, we love you. And Lord, I'm amazed by you. Help us to see the word of God as a gift. Oh, Lord. Help us to receive it as such. What truths await us every day, Lord, if we just get into this book? Set us free, I pray, from the lies of the devil. And help us to see this book as a gift. Lord, you want to meet with us daily. There's rays of truth you want to give us daily. And it only strengthens us as we come together collectively as a church family. We grow in grace together. And we can truly say, this is what the Lord spoke to me about this week. And Lord, that's a blessing and a privilege. Lord, I want to apologize for sometimes seeing your book as a textbook. Sometimes seeing it as a manual that I have to explain to fellow believers. Lord, it's a gift. And thank you for this precious gift. Father, I do pray that you be with us, Lord, as we break for prayer. I pray that it be profitable. I pray that we'd pray real prayers There's a spirit of prayer growing in this place, Lord. An honest spirit where people are just being real with you. Oh, Lord, you know our faults, but thank you for the truth that helps us deal with those faults. We love you, Lord, and we're very thankful for you, Lord, this hour. We praise you in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Let's break for prayer. Ladies, if you can...